when I was approached by the representative of SOI and asked to speak this evening, he asked me to address a specific topic. I don't know if it was on the signs, but the topic was the internet. One of my Talmidim this morning handed me this. I thought it might be somewhat interesting. I assume that many people speak about this topic. They would address one of the obvious elements that I don't feel any need to address this evening, the issue of inappropriate material. Number one, I think everybody here understands it's the lack of propriety, and the issue has been addressed before. I don't think I need to get up and give you mussar about something which is obviously usur. I'd be wasting your time and my time. I think everybody understands that. What I would like to talk about, however, are a number of issues, time permitting, that I think sometimes people do not consider in the use of the internet and other related technologies, be it cell phones, text messaging, email, that I think really B'nai Torah, all people need to think about. The Gemara in Yoma, Daf Samach Tes Amud Beis, speaks about the Anshei Knesset HaGdola when they came back from Korban Bayis Rishon, when they came back from Golis Rishon. So they were mispalel to destroy the Yetzirah Shel Avodah Zarah. And after they were successful in that campaign, they turned their attention to the Yetzirah of Arayos, and they thought it was a good time. It was an Eis Ratzon. And so they were boy Rachamei, the Gemara says, Ve'imser B'yadayu. They were given the Yetzirah Shel Arayos. So Amar Luhu, the Yetzirah Shel Arayos, engaged in blackmail. He said to them, Chazo, the Ikatlisu Lei Lahu Kal Ya'ama. If you kill me, you're going to destroy the world. So they wanted to find out whether he was telling the truth, so they imprisoned him for 3 days. And the Gemara says they searched for a fresh egg in all of Eretz Yisrael. Ubo be'esa basyoma b'chal Eretz Yisrael v'lo ishtakach. They couldn't find a single fresh egg, because when the Yetzer Hara had disappeared, all drive to procreate, all drive to create had disappeared as well. So they had a conundrum. What do they do? So they ended up blinding the Yetzer Hara, and it worked a little bit so that the Yetzer Hara is not misgara ba'arayos. Okay. Been Krovin. That's one Gemara. There's also a very well-known Gemara in Chulin towards the end of Perek HaLabasar. It's a famous expression. People may not realize it was Yalta who uttered it, which is, she said to her husband, Rav Nachman, Michtei kol da'asar lana rachmana shara lan kvasei. Everything that a Kadosh Baruch Hu prohibited, he had an equivalent which he permitted. So he prohibited dam, but you're allowed to eat liver. He prohibited dam nida, but you're allowed to be boel al dam toar, midina de gemara. He prohibited the chaylev of behema, but you're allowed to eat the chaylev of chaya. She wanted to know, what about basar b'chalav? And Rav Nachman said, go make her a chal, go make her an udder. What both of these gemaras suggest is that we have certain types of drives, certain types of needs, and sometimes they're appropriate and sometimes they're not appropriate. And I think that this is true with almost all aspects of life, including all of these new technologies. There's tremendous power in these technologies to change the world, to better our lives, to do things better, to improve our shmiras hamitzvos, to improve our Talmud Torah. At the same time, they can also be very destructive forces. And the challenge in life is balancing the two. I would not get up here and suggest in front of you that all of these forms of technology should be prohibited. I think, firstly, such an approach would be highly inadvisable and unwise. I don't think you would listen to me and mutaf shiu shogim v'ayim ezidin. And also, I think that approach is simply wrong. I think our responsibility is to not ignore the incredibly positive potential. To do so would be absolutely foolish. And what I would like to do now is to address, I think, a few issues that perhaps are not so obvious, but I think that really people need to consider. Number one, V'hatznei alecha esim elokecha. There seems to be a basic misunderstanding of what I think tznius means. A lot of people think, hear the word tznius, they start thinking about women, and they start thinking about the lengths of skirts and the lengths of sleeves, and that's the definition of tznius. That, I believe, is fundamentally incorrect. That is a discussion in halacha of what we call erva. It's a very important discussion, a very important details, it's a very important issue. But that's not what tznius is. Tznius applies equally to everyone. The best definition I ever heard of tznius, a very good friend provided, was that tznius means keeping what is private private. We live in a society where there are a lot of people, far too many, who seem to have a compulsive need to share with the world, to share everything about themselves. Whether it's Facebook, whether it's only simchas, the things that someone sometimes are described, occasionally I will see, that people choose to share shock me. I'm sure many of you understand. And even things that aren't bad, and even things that aren't wrong, don't need to be shared with the entire world. Once upon a time, this was impossible. If you don't have your own newspaper and you didn't have your own form of media, you couldn't share everything with the world. You shared it, obviously, with only those who you were able to, and typically only those who needed it. The technology of the internet has made it possible to share all the details of people's lives with the entire world or with a large section of the world. That is the antithesis of tznius. The Medrash Tanhuma, next week's parsha, speaking about the Luchos HaRishonos and Luchos Shnios, points out that the first Luchos were given with a lot of fanfare, all the fireworks. The second Luchos were given very quietly. The Medrash Tanhuma comments, HaLuchos Rishonos al shenitnu bapumbi, they were given with great publicity, lefikach sholto bahem ayin hara v'nishtabru. The ayin hara was sholetes in the first Nisinas HaLuchos, and they were broken. There is nothing more appropriate than tznius shenemar, Uma Hashem Doresh Mimcha, Ki Emasos Mishpat Avas Chesed V'Hatznei Alecha Sim Elokecha. If it's true when it comes to Talmud Torah, which is something so central and in some ways not fundamentally private, that tznius is essential, it is certainly essential with most aspects of our lives as individuals. Number two is the question of privacy of others. And again, here, this is not something which is new to the internet or any of these technologies, but again, it's something that is easier to violate in a more widespread fashion. The Gemara in Yoma records a prohibition that maybe shouldn't be shocking, but it might surprise a lot of people. The Gemara comments on the superfluousness of the word lemor in the first pasuk of Sefer Vayikra, Vayikra Moshe Vayidaber Hashem Elav Me'oha Moed Lemor. And what is the necessity of the word lemor? So here the Gemara quotes, Amar Rabba, Minayin la'omar davar l'chaveiro shehu b'val yomar, ad sheyomar lo leich emor. How do you know that if somebody tells you something, that it is assumed that it must be kept private until you're given permission to repeat it? Shenemar v'yedaber Hashem elav me'oha moed lemor. Now again, this is not something which is fundamentally new. This exists before. If your friend walks over with you in conversation and tells you something, that is, should be assumed to be private unless you're told otherwise, or unless perhaps it's obvious that it's not something that was meant to be kept quiet. Now, it just happens to be in the context of the internet, whether someone is posting a web page, a blog, a Facebook entry, whatever it is, it's very easy to share other people's private information. But it's important to remember that everything is beval tomar at sheyomar l'chaleimor. The third, and this goes without saying, lashon hara. The Tosefta and Peah, it's worth noting, comments, Al Elu Dvarim Nifraim in Adam Ba'olam Hazeh, Va'keren Kayemes Olam Haba. Most of you know the Mishnah and Peah, you recite it every day about the good things. Many people don't know the Tosefta's parallel about the not so good things. And what are these three things? Al Avod Zara, Val Gilarayus, Val Shvichos Domim, Vial Lashon Hara Kineged Kulam. Now, Lashon Hara, unfortunately, is a long standing popular activity amongst Kal Yisrael and people generally, but it's nothing new. However, the opportunities with the internet are far greater for many reasons. Firstly, the ability to reach a very wide audience and the possibility of doing real damage to people. The inability to retract what is said. If you tell Lashon Hara to one or two people, you may be able to contain the damage. You put it out there in the internet once, and the search engines cache it in their storage houses, and they may be there forever. And third, the ability to do it anonymously. Now, the truth be told, and I feel it's important to comment here, and this is, I think, applicable generally, it's Lashon Hara whether or not you attack someone with your name posted to a comment or a web page or not, or anonymously. It makes no difference. They're both Lashon Hara. But I have to say that there's something incredibly spineless and cowardly about people who would post things without their name on it. And the truth is, most people, if they had to put their name on something, they probably wouldn't be posting the Lashon Hara, whatever types of nasty comments they make about people. So again, the internet wasn't mechadesh the isser of Lashon Hara, but it offers new and unprecedented opportunities, both in scope and intensity, for violating this prohibition. Number four, the question of time and concentration. And I've spoken in this forum about the issue of Bittul Torah and Bittul Zman before. And again, it's not something that is new to the internet. But I think it's important to consider, the pasuk in Iyov, Halot Tzava Le'enosh Alei Oretz V'Chimei Sachir Yamav. Our time on this earth is very limited. We have a lot to accomplish. Hayom katzar v'hamalacha merubah. And there seems to be something about the electronic media. I'm not sure what it is or why it is. There's probably some biological explanation. Is that has the ability to draw us in, and it's very hard to extricate oneself. It's almost like a vacuum on people's free time, and sometimes even on time that isn't free. I suspect if many of us added up the time that was spent on these distractions, we would be frightened to see how much time it actually draws from our time that we really need for a lot of things. And I don't think I need to tell that to most of you here in how unavailable time is, how much time you could really use. Talmud in the yeshiva, who wastes this time, is violating Bittul Zman and Bittul Torah. Said when you go out into the working world and you choose to engage in these activities on the time of your employers, you're simply a goslin. And again, it's not that forms of Bittul Torah and Bittul Zman didn't exist before. They certainly did. You know, there are all sorts of distractions. But again, there seems to be something about these activities that manage to draw people in a way that many other kinds of previous forms of Bittul Zman didn't necessarily do so. Along with this, I would comment also about an issue of concentration. And I'll come back to this a little bit later, but the issue of being able to focus on a task without being interrupted, to focus on a Gemara, to focus on a Tosfos, to focus on a Reb Chaim, to focus on a problem in your math textbook, or whatever else it is that you're doing, there seems to be a loss of people's ability to focus on what the task at hand is. And it always seems to be that these things offer certain kinds of distractions. It's another phone call, it's another text message, it's something else. It's very destructive to the efficiencies of time. And again, these are things that have great value in some contexts, but in other contexts really can be destructive. And I can tell you there are things that you couldn't do before because in the interest of time, because of the availability of the internet or email or things of that nature, but at the same amount of time that it can save in some contexts, it can take away as much time in other contexts. Number five, the issue of intellectual property and copyright law. There is a major machlokus amongst poskim as to whether or not the halacha in itself recognizes intellectual property and its theft as a form of gezel. But it doesn't really matter because even if it's not, I personally happen to think it's not recognized by halacha as real property, there's still an issue of dina d'malchus adina. I think its applicability is unquestioned here. Now, people have managed to violate intellectual property rights before, even before the invention of the internet. You could copy tapes, you could, I don't know how much it was, copying of CDs. But the fact is, this is one of the shilas I get frequently, is about, well, can I download music that's pirated? And the answer to the question is obviously, of course not. Why would you think so otherwise? But it happens to be the internet makes the violation of intellectual property rights so easy to do because you can press one button, you don't have to make any effort, you don't have to pay any money, and it's something that people have to be very careful about. A sixth issue, and this I think is what I want to call a meta-halachic issue, maybe it's not even halachic. There's a very famous targum on the pasuk in Parshas Bereishis, Vayihi Adam LeNefesh Chaya. And the Targum says, what is a Nefesh Chaya? A Ruach Memalala, a speaking being, a speaking creature. What distinguishes man from the rest of creation is our ability to communicate through speech and through other forms. But really, it's fundamentally about communication. Ideally, communication between human beings is best done face to face. The cues that one gives in body language and facial expressions, tone of voice, cannot be matched by any form of communication, written letter or anything else. A phone call is probably second best, talking with the person but not being able to see the body language, but at least to hear the inflection of the voice. The electronic media have enabled a form of communication completely divorced from human reality. And unfortunately, very often, people have seem to be losing the ability to communicate with one another, to connect with one another, and because they're infatuated with their electronic communications, and you lose everything. And I would say, if there's an issue that ends up being touched upon, it's one of Onas Dvarim, because when you communicate through electronic media on issues of sensitive topics, it's very easy to make a mistake, it's very easy to leave a misimpression, it's very easy to hurt someone else in the process. It's not that it can't be done face-to-face, it's not that it can't be done over a phone, but the fact remains that it's ripe for misunderstanding, it's ripe for causing tzar for other people. And this is really just an Eitz HaTova, not even from the perspective of halacha, that if you need to communicate something that's very important, the internet, email, text messaging is a very bad way of doing it. If you have to arrange a meeting, a time with somebody, it's an excellent way. It's a very efficient way of communication. But basically what defines us as human beings is our ability to communicate. And there's a danger that these types of things actually inhibit our ability to communicate and to connect with one another. I'm still waiting for the... I know there have been shaylas asked about, can you do nicham aveilim by telephone? I'm waiting for the first shayla to be asked, is can you do nicham aveilim through sending a text message? I think the answer to the question probably should be no, but maybe others would differ. Finally, I would just like to make a general comment, and I think it applies to all of these technologies. And I see this amongst my students, I see it amongst many students. The pasuk in Koheles states, Ra'isi avadim al susim visarim holchim ka avadim al haaretz. Koheles observes that the world is backwards. The avadim, the slaves, are the ones who are riding on the horses as if they are the masters. And the officers, the figures of authority, the sarim, they're walking on the ground as if they were slaves. In an ideal world, technology, like everything else, is created to serve man's needs. Human beings are supposed to be the masters, and their technological devices are supposed to be their servants, their slaves that make life easier. You walk around in this world, you can walk into the elevator, you can even walk into the base medrash, you walk into the classroom, and it seems that we have an olam hafach. It seems that the people have been reduced to the slaves, and the technology, the cell phone, the computer, whatever else it is, has become the master. Most of you, at least at this stage in life, are it's both a pagam and a good fortune. You don't have to be slaves to technology. I know people out in the world who, since the invention of cell phones, have become mamish avadim. Shabbos is their only respite because they tell the people they work for, I can't answer the phone on Shabbos. Mamish, they have become avadim. Avadim, because they cannot turn these devices off. They cannot disconnect themselves from the rest of the world. There is no menucha. But this is an olam hafach. The sarim are the ones who are supposed to be riding on the horses, and the avadim are the ones who are supposed to be walking on the ground. So the technology is there to enhance our lives, to enhance our avodas Hashem, to enhance the way we live our lives as human beings, as Bnei Torah. And chaval, when the technology can become our masters, where I can't go anywhere without turning off my cell phone, I can't enter the base medrash without turning off my cell phone and my text messaging. I know that they put out boxes here, which on the one hand I appreciate the sentiments, but on the other hand it really is a little bit sad. You can walk into the base medrash, we should have enough maturity to turn your cell phone off, to turn your text messaging off. If you can for some reason technologically, leave it in your room. If there's a family emergency, a call you're expecting, okay. But most of you are at the stage in life that you can disappear for 3 hours and it doesn't matter. Your friends don't have to be able to reach you. Just turn it off. You cannot be a slave. You cannot be a slave to these things. If there's an avodah zarah that can be spoken about in this, it's when you have to worship the cell phone because you can't get away from it. It becomes a new Adam. We're supposed to be avodim to the Ribono Shel Olam. Last week's parsha, 2 weeks ago, we read about piercing the Eved Ivri's ear. And one of the reasons we do that, one version, not to the Geneva version, the other version, is that we're supposed to be avodim to Hashem, not avodim to his avodim. Avodayim. And so I would really just come back and conclude with my original point, and I think there's much more to be said, but time doesn't allow it. All of these advances in technology present wonderful opportunities, be it in Talmud Torah, be it in Avodas Hashem, in all of its forms, both as Bnei Torah and as human beings. But as with the Yetzer Hara, and as with all those things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes prohibited, sometimes permitted for us, we all have to recognize that it's up to us to use these things properly. If we use these things improperly, we become avadim. It has the real potential to destroy our lives. If we use them properly, it has the tremendous potential, tremendous ability to enhance our Talmud Torah and our Avodas Hashem and our Yerushalayim.